Good morning. We have got some announcements for this morning. Friday, September 30th is our evening church picnic under the pavilion from 5 until 8. Hot dogs and hamburgers will be provided. Everyone else is going to bring sides, but let Elaine know what you want to bring.
Is it this Friday? Is it coming Friday?
No.
Next Friday.
It's a typo.
Yeah, September 30th. Okay. Let's see. And there will be a movie after the meal, and if you want to know what it is, you have to come to find out. Thank you to everyone who worked at and sponsored and brought gifts, brought supplies and food and everything to the share fair. I think that it was very well attended.
Yes.
Yeah. I think it was a hit. Let's see. October 30th, the fifth Sunday, is our praise and worship and our potluck. If you would like to join us to sing up here, just let Kit or somebody in the gospel group let us know, and we'll be happy to have you join us. You can either sing with us, or you can sing by yourself or with a group. Yes?
I have an idea that today is Halloween, but it's also Martin Luther's, the first day of the Reformation, when the first the Protestant church was born. And so I have a wonderful little play that we can do. So if anybody would like to act in the play.
How long is the play?
It's probably only 15 minutes.
We're going to nail things to the church door?
Yes, we are.
Yes. Yes. I can get my manifesto out there.
Yeah. Dave, it's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Okay, so anyone wanting to participate? See Gail. How many people do you need?
I think about four or five. Four.
Okay, that's not many.
Yeah, so whoever wants to be Martin Luther, they can draw straws.
I think we already have it on.
Yeah, we do.
Are there any other announcements?
Yeah, for the end of the month, this Sunday, invite other churches. Invite other churches to come and participate. They can do their service generally and then come catch ours afterwards. So invite your friends, invite your neighbors, invite people you don't know. We'd like to have folks come and sing and share the joy of worship of the Lord.
Yeah.
And we continue to add groups from the outside and bring them on in. The share fair yesterday, we added groups from the outside. There were a lot of folks that I'd never seen before.
Amen.
They were just new friends that we hadn't met yet. Charlie?
How many people asked you, how much is this?
We didn't have too much of that this year.
Not at the food area they did.
Oh, yeah, the food area.
Is this cupcake?
Yeah. Yeah, the food area still baffles people. But the donation bucket was good. I haven't taken the time to dump the donation bucket out. That takes a little bit of work with a knife getting all the donations out of the bucket. But people did come and participate and contributed. It was a great time.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, we had a lot of help, so it was a good time.
Anyone else? Okay, then moving along to prayer requests. Prayers for Joel and Joanne's dad. How's he?
He's doing pretty well. He had 102 fever, which resolved itself without antibiotics.
Amen.
That's a good sign. He's hydrated again, and he's still weak.
But he's in the nursing home now?
Yeah, he is. Pretty bad on the phone.
Yep. Rehab, right?
Okay. Prayers for Alma and Charlie to find a new apartment. For Bob and Judy and Alma and Charlie and all those who are battling Parkinson's. Prayers for our cancer warriors. Ken LaRoche, who is the pastor's son-in-law's father. For Terry and Jeannie's sister Ruth. Any progress on her?
Well, she's actually doing pretty good for her. They've changed her chemo down to, she was getting two different kinds of medicine. Now she's just getting one. And she does have an appointment coming up the beginning of October to go to Dana-Farber and see what they suggest. If they suggest the same thing that she's getting at Bay State, if they've got other ideas. So we're excited about that.
Okay, good. Let's see. For Charlie Roberts, Roger Kerboy, the Reverend Bob Wellner, my friend Dee and her husband, who both have got cancer, but she has an infection in her foot that is not clearing up, so we need to pray for that, or she could end up losing her foot. and all of our other cancer warriors. Continued prayers for the new baby, Kate and Kelly, that they'll get enough sleep to take care of his new baby, Cindy's new grandchild, and Alexis, Jacob, Luke, Angelica Ward, and all of our other children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren for their healing. And prayers for the doctors and nurses for wisdom and guidance for them. Healing prayers for Mrs. Haley, Miss Hagen, Kit, Rich, Tom's sister, Kelly, or Kelly Warren, Rich, who is Jeannie's husband, for me, Priscilla Varney, Alma's sister, and any other prayer requests.
Yeah, I'll pray for my brother-in-law, Jack, and my brother, Art. He had just a very small little, like, ulcer thing on his foot. It turned out to be ulcerated. He had to go into surgery. They kept him overnight, a couple nights. And just pray for that. He got cellulitis on his leg, too. So he's got a lot of other issues, but pray that he gets, you know, miraculously healed on his foot and that, you know, he, you know, he is saved. He made a profession of faith, but he just needs a lot of prayer.
We also need to pray for the New York City bomb victims. Yes.
Yeah, I'd like prayers said for a young man in Warren, Seth Blackwell. He's very sick. They tell him that there's something like Lyme's, but it's not Lyme's. He cannot walk right now, so I think he needs all our prayers.
Yeah.
Prayers for my my cousins. They lost their brother Alan and Jenny this past week.
Oh.
67,
66?
Yes.
Brief update on Jacob. Earlier in the week, he actually got to spend a wonderful day at home. He actually got to be outside and with friends for a while. This morning, they're in the ER because some wounds having to do with his shunt surgery have broken right open. So, and he's in a lot of pain. So, it's gone from that. And I just wanted to. Announcement-wise, on the 23rd, that's a Sunday at 1 o'clock, there's going to be a fundraiser in Stafford Springs.
October 23rd.
October, thank you very much. In Stafford Springs, it's a car show and family fun sort of combination, and so the timing is right that if a crew of us, after service, people usually go to lunch in Stafford, and the timing would be just perfect to then mosey on over to the site. So.
And it's for cancer?
No, well, it's for Jacob. It's for Jacob's family.
Oh, specifically.
It's specifically for Jacob's family.
At Hyde Park?
What?
At Hyde Park?
No, it's at something
Sun
Beach
Valley.
Club. Sun Valley Beach Club.
Sun Valley Beach Club. Just down the street from Johnson Hospital. We have the same road, Sun Valley Beach Club, right down the road.
Yeah, you go to Nick's Sun Valley before you go to the hospital.
Like a big crew of us to head on down that.
Oh,
yes.
So a prayer for Linda's friend. She has cancer, and they give her a year, and that's the end of
what's her name?
Karen. Wish.
A friend of Kelly's, Christina, was just diagnosed with cancer. And it's pretty bad.
She's a basketball.
Pray for Kelly, too. Your Kelly.
Absolutely.
She's, well, I know you got faith. Kelly, it's not just lives, correct? There is no one, so
it's
something else that they're trying to find out.
Kelly,
so really pray for the wisdom of the doctors to get a handle on that.
Anyone else?
I'm going to send an email out that I received on Bob Wellness. We prayed for Bob for a lot of years. He's been battling cancer. Bob battles cancer and he preaches at the same time. He and his wife are amazing. Bob is going for more treatment. He has lesions on his brain that have started to appear again, and he's going for treatment, but he's still working for the Lord as he goes for treatment. I'll forward you the email. If you want some motivation, read that email. They're a tremendous asset. I have never not run into Bob and his wife where they were not in prayer or stopping to visit and encourage somebody else along the way. So they are an amazing couple that are true warriors for God. All right. I'm going to have you sit for a couple minutes. Sermon today, if you're looking at the bulletin, the sermon's about following the rules. And I remember my grandson, Corey, who's now 21, being at my house one day when he was a little guy, and I said to him, "How's things?" And he goes, "Poppy, okay." And we had just corrected him for something, and the word rule came up, and he said to me, "Poppy, you know, there sure are a lot of rules. I go to my dad's house, there's rules. I go to my mama's house, there's rules. I go to my other Nana and Poppy's house, and there's rules. There's just a lot of rules." And I said to him, "Well, the important thing with rules is that you pay attention to the main ones, that you try and do what's right all the time. That the little ones are just way too many rules to remember." We're going to talk about rules today. And rules are something that we have, and everybody has in their life. So I thought I'd share with you some rules that Billy Graham has. Give that half to the buck or somebody over there and let them pass it out. But we all need rules to keep us coordinated. Without rules, there would be chaos. But you get all wrapped up with the rules to the point where you're like the Jews used to be. They were worried about the rules and not the significance of the rules. And Jesus came along, and that was the big issue with Jesus and his ministry, was they nickeled and dimed him on the rules and not the spirit of the rules. So Billy writes, whether we're playing a game, driving a car, or baking a cake, there are certain rules that must be followed for our safety as well as our success. The Bible teaches that Christian life is one of constant growth. When you were born again, you were born into God's family. It is God's purpose that you will grow to fill stature and become mature in Christ. It would be against the law of God and nature if you were to remain a baby and thus become a spiritual dwarf. In 2 Peter 3:18, the Bible says we are to grow. It implies steady development, constant enlargement, increasing wisdom. So I'll just do the highlights here, and you can take it and look it over as we go through. But it says 10 points. Read your Bible daily.
Amen.
Do not be content to skim through each chapter merely to satisfy your conscience. Hide the Word of God in your heart. It comforts, guides, corrects, encourages. It's all we need. Now, we do Bible study a couple times a week, and we read and reread, and people say, "I've read the Bible." It's an amazing piece of literature. It's an amazing, inspired Word of God, because every time we study it, you pick up something new along the way. It's a living, breathing document. It really has the basic instructions before leaving Earth. It says, learn the secret of prayer. Prayer is communicating. Every prayer that you pray will be answered. Every prayer that you pray will be answered. Sometimes that answer is a yes, sometimes a no, and sometimes it's a wait. We don't like that one. We don't like that wait prayer. Rely constantly on the Holy Spirit. We were talking in Bible study about lifting up our decisions to God, and Joel was talking about the truck that he just bought. He made a bid on a truck, and surprisingly, the guy accepted the bid. And then he said, "I stopped and I said to God, is this the right truck? Is this the right decision?" I know I've bought and sold a lot of things in my life along the way. Things that have glitz and glitter and seem like the right idea. You know, it's nothing like the remorse of an impulse buyer. Attend church regularly. The visible church is Christ's organization upon the earth. Christians need one another. That's why worship is so important. That's why participating in church functions are so important. Yeah. You become a product of the folks you hang around with. We tell our kids this all the time. Hang around with the good kids. Yeah. Hang around with people that are motivated, that are moving forward, that have positive light in their life. We need to attend church rather. And then share. Be a witnessing Christian. Don't keep the joy to yourself. Don't keep the joy to yourself. Let love be the ruling principle in your life. Jesus said to those who followed him, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples." And it's the easiest thing in the world. If you love one another, John 25. Be an obedient Christian. Put Christ first in all the choices that you make. Get me out of the way. Get yourself out of the way. Give it up. Give it to God. Let God go. And God will take you places that you can't believe that you are. Learn how to beat temptation. Temptation is not a sin.
No.
No. Those M&Ms that I found last night on the table, they were not a sin that I found them.
That's right.
They weren't a sin that I ate the first couple. It was those next six that were probably a bad thing. But sin's like that. Sin sneaks up on you. Sin just sneaks up on you along the way. You know, let Christ and the Holy Spirit do the fighting for you. Be a wholesome Christian. Our lives and appearance should commend the gospel and make it attractive to others. It's hard to sell the joy of being a Christian. It's hard to sell the positive aspects of being a Christian. If you walk around and you don't smile and you don't share the love and light of Jesus and you're filled with stinking thinking, make your glass half full, not half empty. Share that half full glass, that three quarters full of glass, and share from your abundance. We are abundantly blessed. Look at that table out there that's covered up. There's no junk on that table. There's no junk on that table. There's just stuff that other folks can use. And live above your circumstances. Don't let your circumstances get you down. Learn to live graciously within them, realizing that the Lord is with you. For the Lord is with you each and every day. Now, if you're able, if you would rise and turn to 288. 288. Lifting to God the Holy Spirit. I'll read the light part, y'all read the dark. 288. O living God, you come and make our souls temples of your Spirit.
Sanctify us, O Lord.
Grant us all the fruits of your Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, and faithfulness.
Sanctify us, O Lord.
May your Holy Spirit speak by the voice of your servants here and everywhere as they announce your gospel.
Sanctify us, O Lord.
Send your Holy Spirit, the comforter to all who face adversity or know the human abandonment.
Sanctify us, O Lord.
Build up true community among nations through the power of your Holy Spirit.
Sanctify us, O Lord.
Holy Spirit, Lord and source of life, giver of the seven gifts.
Sanctify us, O Comforter.
Spirit of wisdom and understanding, Spirit of counsel and strength.
Sanctify us, O Comforter.
Spirit of knowledge and devotion, Spirit of obedience to the God.
Sanctify us, O Comforter.
And now if you join with me in prayer. Father, we come together today and we're thankful. Thankful for this day and for every day. We're thankful for the opportunity to come and share. We're thankful for the rain that's about to come. We're thankful that the rain renews the earth, and we pray that this service will renew us, that it'll help us to root deeply in our faith, that it'll help us to grow new branches, that our greenery will attract others who haven't seen the light and love of Jesus. That we may be a highly functional tool for you, Lord, as we move through this week and every week. We come together and pray a prayer of thanks for all the opportunities of the past week. We come this morning and pray a prayer of thanks that we're able to gather here together to be renewed. We come, Lord, to seek your guidance and your healing hand. We come to be lifted up and leave this building more than we were when we came in. And now, Father, as we prepare for service, we gather together in the prayer that your Son Jesus taught us when he said,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
We'll sing Spirit of the Living God, 297. Feel like serving the Lord or doing what you need to do. If you've ever been seasick, you just really haven't had a wonderful experience yet. Just being out of control with your whole body, power shaking, nothing like it out there. You're bobbing up and down and things are good, and then all of a sudden you just have this uncontrollable urge to go to the rail and heave. And this man was sick. And while he's sick, he's over there and he hears somebody's fallen overboard. And he's still sick, but he's wondering what he could do to be of help. And he laid hold of a light and he laid down on with the light. And they saved the drowning man. And it was interesting because the next day he was on deck and he was talking to the man that was rescued. And the saved man gave this testimony. He said he'd gone down for the second time and was going down again for probably the last time when he put out his hand. And he said just then somebody held the light over the porthole and they could see his hand and pulled him back. Whether it's a good day or a bad day or a day in between, if folks are looking for that light that you carry, that light that we carry. There could be somebody out there that you don't even know that's drowning. And your light and your difference and your demeanor in a coffee shop, in a restaurant, in a supermarket, wherever you are, can be the difference in that person and pull them toward the light so that they're saved. God challenges us always to share from our abundance. The ushers will come forward and receive the morning offering, and I encourage you to share from your abundance.
Excuse me?
I'm the Lord of sea and sky.
come humbly and we stand at your feet, Lord. Stand at your feet as many have come and stood at your feet before us. We come and return a small blessing to you, Lord. Just a small part of what you've given us, for you bless us so abundantly each day. We ask, Father, that you bless these gifts as well as the giver, that you guide and direct their use so that we might multiply, magnify, and utilize them to the extreme, Father, so that we can increase the outreach, so that we can be better servants and witnesses, so that more troops can be added to the detachment here in Wales and the other detachments around the globe. We ask all these precious things in your Son Jesus' name.
Amen.
Cindy and Grace are going to go sit down, and Betty's taking a seat. We talk about church family and the community that we have. Your service that you've seen with Betty singing and with the gospel group that sings every week at the Share Fair yesterday, that's the small community in here in Wales Detachment. But it's a larger community of outreach that goes throughout the world. Because I was visiting with a lady yesterday that attends a lot of our functions, and we had invited her to the church picnic. And she said, oh, okay, and what time is it? I said, well, I'm not sure. I put it in the bulletin every week. But if you check online, you can see it. I said, or I'll get back to you. She said, oh, you're online? I didn't know you had a website. And I said, oh yeah, we have a website, and you can listen to our sermon broadcasts every week, because when you go to our website, they're on podcast. And she said, really? And I said, well, that's the power of technology when you use it for God's glory. And I said, you know, we get hits from India, we get hits from the Middle East, we get hits from Alaska, we get hits from all over the nation because of our parishioners' travel. Just like God's message travels. So if all the children would come forward now, Aaron will be ready for the message of one. Hold my ones.
Okay, so Pastor's talking about rules today. I'll give you a card. Okay. Memorize that card because I have to take it back. You know what's on that part?
One.
This is the same thing, right? Okay, that's the rule. The rule is, we're going to play Mother May I in a second. And sometimes I'm going to tell you to take one step, but the rule is you can't take one. If you take one, you're out of the game, okay? So even if I try to trick you, the rule is you can't take...
Go.
That's right, no taking one step. So, come on over here.
Maybe
we'll
love to play too.
She would love to play too? What is her name?
Well,
how about if she just moves with you? She could help you.
Penelope.
Okay.
Well, I can't see if I have to pen it down.
Okay. So, who would like to go first? Alexis, do you know how to play?
I don't know.
Okay. I'll just say, Mother, may I take however many steps you think you want to take, and then I say yes or no. If I say no, I have to tell you how many you have to take. But if I say one, can you go?
No.
Should you go? Right, that's the rule. We can't really go one. But I'm going to try to trick you. Are you ready? Okay.
Mother, may I go 5 steps?
Yes, you may. But you have to go baby steps. Okay. Your turn, my dear. Say, Mother, may I take... How many steps do you think you want to take?
Two.
Okay. Yes, you may take 2 giant steps. Okay, your turn.
Mother, may I take 3 steps?
No, you may take 1 elephant step. Ooh, she's good. Okay, your turn. Mother, may I take, how many steps do you want to take this time?
3.
Yes, you may take 3 backward steps. You have to turn around this way and go this way like this. Okay? No, you go backwards. You go backwards towards me. Well, she's working on that. Your turn, Alexis.
4 steps.
No, but you may go 2 butterfly steps. Okay, your turn.
but you can take one gigantic step. Oh, man, you good. You learned that rule really well. Okay.
I've
always
since I've been close to play at daycare.
Oh, okay. Your turn, Alexis.
Where may I take big steps?
You may take one giant step. Okay, how about two giant steps? Okay, your turn. Mother, may I take, how many steps do you want to take this time?
Six steps.
Three.
No, but you can take six bunny steps. Which I pop. Six times, ready? One, two, three, four, five, six. Very good. Okay, now. Mother, may I? Yes, you may. And how many steps would you like to take?
Three.
You may take three giant steps.
One.
One. That's only one. You better keep going or you break the rule. Two.
But I'm too close to you.
Three. You both wicked. You both kept the rules. That's what we do when we read our Bible. We read the Bible and there are rules in there that God says we should not do. Should we ever steal?
No.
No. Should we ever just take something because we like it? No. That's stealing, right? That's, the devil likes to try to trick us by using different words. Should we ever lie?
No.
No. Should we ever say no way to our moms and dads?
No.
Never, never, never. Should we ever say no way to God?
No.
No. You guys know the rules. Awesome, awesome. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that we see children. Father, I pray that you make them strong enough to always and be bold enough always to follow your rules, no matter what. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Oh my goodness.
Only on Saturdays I get my real
continue service with hymn number 306. Standing on the promises, first and last. 306.
We have to stand.
You can stand, yes, if you're able. Messengers are divinely inspired.
But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Second reading is from Acts, chapter 8, verse 29 through 31. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I, he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. And the last reading is Psalm 119:11. "I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you." That is the reading of the Word of God.
Amen. Now we'll be in prayer. Father, we come together. We come together as we do every week. And each week, Father, we ask that you would come and put your hands on us, that you'd open our hearts and minds, that you'd lift us up and surround us with angels. We pray for a message that we can understand, a message that will take to heart, and a message that will do whatever you ask. But now, Father, as we prepare to move in and hear your message and hear your word, we pray, Father, for complete understanding. And give us the heart of a warrior so that we would take the message that you've given each one of us and move forward with it. Move forward with us as a new way. In a new day, and do things that you ask us to do without asking why. We ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Following the rules. Most of you folks know that I like to know the rules, and I like to walk to the edge of the rules. Sometimes I even like to stretch the rules. But I like rules. I spent 22 years with Uncle Sam active duty and had structure. Didn't always like the structure, but I always worked within the structure. And sometimes we get a call to do something, and instead of listening to God's voice, we think it through and analyze it and ask 14 different opinions. But sometimes God asks you to be Philip. Sometimes God asks you to go and talk to somebody that's not like you. Somebody that's in a higher position than you. Somebody that's a little different. And Philip, if you look at the whole chapter there, it says, after testifying and preaching in Samaria, Peter, John returned to Jerusalem, stopping at many Samaritan villages along the way to preach the good news. But as for Philip, the angel of the Lord said to him, "Go over the rule that runs from Jerusalem through the Gaza desert, arriving around noon." Sometimes God gives you a mission that's a little different than everybody else's. Everybody else might be working at the mission share fair, and you might be off doing something else along the way, and you're in a position where God sent you there, and you might think you were there to attend somebody's birthday, but you're really there to be God's messenger. They might have sent you off to go watch a grandkid's field hockey game. That's a sport I know nothing about, but I am actively learning the rules since my granddaughter now plays this sport. Field hockey is as foreign to me as Philip was foreign to the eunuch that he was going to find in the desert. I don't understand the rules, but it sure is a great place to meet people. Because I know what I don't know, so I ask everybody else that looks like they know. And along the way, I have the opportunity to meet new friends and network with them. And hopefully get to share the light and light of Jesus Christ along the way. Because my mission while I'm there is to be supportive of my granddaughter, to try and figure out the sport so I can cheer her when I'm supposed to cheer her. Yeah. Well, they're going up and down the thing with sticks. It always looks like they're winning. You know, it's my kind of game. They got clubs, and they're out there and they're playing. But I need to know the rules. Now, I don't want to cheer when I'm not supposed to cheer. So at the same time, I'm networking and I'm visiting with folks that I wouldn't normally see. And Philip gets called. And all the rest of the folks, Peter and John and the rest of the folks, return to Jerusalem. But an angel of the Lord says to Philip, hey, go over the hill. Go over the hill. Philip didn't say, hey, let me go talk to, you know, to Peter and John and see what they think if I should go over the hill. Philip goes over the hill. And he goes and he's along the road that runs through the Gaza desert. And who should be coming down the road but the treasurer of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under the Cadence, the queen. Some days you run into people that you don't really expect to meet. My wife and I were visiting one when the Republican convention was coming along, and Newt Gingrich came up in the conversation. And I said, I met Newt Gingrich. And she looked at me and she said, where'd you meet him? I met him in a shuttle in Washington, D.C. at an airport. Wow. He and I were, I climbed onto the bus, and a few minutes later, Newt climbed onto the bus. So I had the opportunity to sit and visit with him, because it's not every day that, you know, I run into Newt Gingrich. So I visited with him back and forth, had a nice conversation with him. And I don't think, I'm not too sure God sent me there to visit with Newt Gingrich. I think God just wanted me to have the benefit of meeting him at the time. But Philip goes and he meets the eunuch. And the eunuch's riding along, and it says he had gone to Jerusalem to worship at the temple and was returning in his chariot, and he was reading aloud from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Now, folks read out loud on occasion. I'll catch my grandkids, now that I have a plethora of grandkids. I've gone from 4 to somewhere around 13, I think, in a matter of getting married. And I've got grandkids of all shapes and sizes and different ages, and sometimes they read out loud. And I like it when kids read out loud, because I can jump into their conversation. I can be a part of what they've got going on. And so Philip's listening, and he knows that this is from Isaiah that he's reading. And the Holy Spirit says to Philip, go over and walk beside the chariot. And Philip ran over and heard what he was reading. And he asked the same things that you ask your grandkids when they're talking out loud. What's that mean? What's that you're reading? Do you understand what you're reading? And Philip says to him, of course not. How can I, when there's no one to instruct me? He can read, but he can't understand. That's why we do Bible study. Amen. That's why we come to Bible study. People will say, I'll visit with them, and they'll say, yeah, I got a Bible. I tried to read it, but it's confusing. That's confusing. Hard to read. That's why there's different versions. That's why I carry two Bibles. I carry a King James and I carry a Living. Well, if you hang out with Ed's got 14 versions on his smartphone over there. And sometimes you need all 14 of those versions to get the message. But the message is important that you understand it. My granddaughter Sydney loves to bake, and she's good at it. But she was going to make her mother a cake, and somewhere along the way, something was missing. My wife theorized different things, but when she made her cake, it fell apart. It fell apart. And when you look at the Bible, your little mind falls apart, because you don't have anybody to help you interpret along the way. Don't throw that book away. Don't throw that book away because it's hard. Don't go grab another book to read because it's hard. Get with some folks We had Bible study on Wednesday night. We got Bible study on Sunday morning. If that doesn't fit your schedule, get with me. There's Bible studies all over the place. We'll hook you up. We'll hook you up. That way you can know what you know, what you know. And you can ask questions about what you don't know. And you can become better informed. Because I don't care if you're going to be a car mechanic, a welder, a carpenter, if you're going to be a baker. Now, Sandy's a wonderful baker. But I gotta believe that you read the instructions at least part of the time. I know you play. I know that the spirit of your mother reaches down and touches
sometimes,
you on occasion.
Sometimes it's just this and this.
That's
and
it.
Stuff.
And it doesn't fall apart.
But you gotta have that guidance factor along the way. And that's what Philip is. Philip is the guidance factor. And because he was willing to hear God's voice, Philip becomes more than Philip. Philip becomes more than Philip. That one mission that God sent him on, he interacts with one of the most influential people in the kingdom. He interacts with somebody that handles all the money for the kingdom. And he reads the scripture. And it says, he was led as sheep to the slaughter. And as the lamb is silent before the shearers, so he opened his mouth not in public. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. And who can express the wickedness of the people of this generation? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch said to Philip, who's Isaiah talking about? Is he talking about himself? And Philip began with the same scripture that he used many other times to tell him about Jesus. To tell him about Jesus. And I got to believe that he didn't do an hour sermon. I got to believe that he probably didn't do 2 hour sermon and said to him, here, let's sit down. Let's just sit here and do this. I got a hunch that he used the New Living Version as God gave it to him and gave him the abridged version of Jesus Christ. And as they rode along, they came beside some water. And a eunuch says, look, water, why can't I be baptized? And Philip said, okay. Little kids will say, I really like that story. Can you read me another one? You need to find that time to read that other one. When you run into somebody that's having a problem, you say, you need to come. Why don't you come and hang out with some of me and my friends? We're going to pray for you, and we'll give you some support. And we stay right on schedule because Joel and his wife don't eat on Wednesday night. So we finish at 8 o'clock because they're hungry. We're in and we're on schedule.
Preach it, Joel.
And that's what you need to be. You need to be prepared. You need to know the operator's manual. You need to be able to share the operator's manual. You don't need all the rules. You don't need all those rules. People are confused by rules. There's too many rules, as my grandson would say. Important rules to be a follower of Jesus. Pick what you think, Joel. Important rule to be a follower of Jesus.
Well, they love it all their heart.
Pretty simple. What do you got to do to be saved?
Believe.
You got to believe to receive.
Amen.
And you got to work every day to be that tool. The tool in God's toolbox that is a can tool. People got a world filled with can ops. Our toolbox is filled with can. You can be healed. You can learn. You can have a better job. You can have a better marriage. You can have better influence on your children and grandchildren. You can be the role model. You can, because that's the message of Jesus Christ, is a can message where you can be an overcomer. You can be a game changer, but you got to be able to listen. God gives you two ears and one mouth. You're supposed to listen twice as much as you talk. You're supposed to listen and then put the information out. Too many of us are like the old military group. Leon and I, we'd go to the range, and people would line up and they'd say, "Lay on the left, ready on the right, the firing line is now ready." And you'd get one guy that would be ready, shoot, aim. And you'd be sitting there and all of a sudden you go, bang! Sometimes we're like that. Sometimes we're like that. Sometimes we want to tell somebody something so bad that we haven't listened to enough along the way. We think we got that answer, and we shoot the answer out before we've got all the information.
On full automatic.
On full automatic. I got a lot to tell you. So this week, as you move forward, know that you are the tool. You're the jewel of God's eye. You're the tool in the toolbox that God has designed to use. God made you special. And when you say no, I would think that someday you got to count to God. God says, "I asked you to do this." You said no. You know? God calls you to say yes. Join with me in prayer. Father, as we close this service, we want to lift up everybody on our prayer list. We want to lift up all the folks that are listed there that need prayer. We want to lift up the folks that were added. We want to pray for the fundraiser for Jacob, that that'll be well attended. That people will come and not only share in the support of the family, but share in the prayer power that that group will have there. That this little boy will continue to be healed and grow. We pray for him, baby Luke. We're joyful that Alexis is with us, that she's healing well. Amen. We pray for all our children and grandchildren. And we pray, Lord, for folks that are far away, like Angelica that's up in Alaska. We pray for all our children that are close by. We lift up Joel's dad and Mrs. Haley, along with Missy Hagen and Kit and Rich, Tom's sister, Kelly Morgan, Amorin, as she's being evaluated by doctors. We pray for all the folks that are continuing to heal. We pray, Father, for your hand to be upon each person and each one of us. We pray that as the events unfold in this coming week, that you will give us the opportunity to influence other people's lives. That we will say, "Yes, Father, here I am, Lord, pick me." That we'll move into battle knowing that you'll equip us with all the tools that we need. That we will move forward and join in the folks like Philip, who, if we have to, will walk alongside the chariot and take the time to try and explain the love of a God that loves us unconditionally. That we'll step forward and use our talents as opportunities come along. As the picnic comes, we'll take the opportunity to share from our abundance in the picnic. As the potluck Sunday comes along and the gospel thing, we'll take the opportunity to share with our musical talents and our physical talents and our cooking talents, and that we'll invite others and we'll invite and we'll invite and we'll invite, and that none will be left behind. That our community of faith will be not limited to these four walls, that it'll not be limited to the town of Wales, that our community of faith will be a witness that expands globally. That, Father, we will be more than we ever thought we could be. We lift all these things up to you through your Son, Jesus. In his name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Our closing hymn is 441, "Softly and Tenderly Jesus is Calling," 441.
Watching for you.
flow through you. May you move forward with a bright light that extends from your body for all that are searching. We ask, Father, that as we move forward this week, that you help us to move and consistently look to be the answer to somebody else's prayer. We ask all these things in Jesus' precious name, and all God's people said,
Amen.
Those rules are good.